You're listening to the best of Legion of News. This is the Emerson News Network.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
Top the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere, even Belgium. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
Storms bring flooding to the northwest. The Burlingame Fred Meyer is going to close for 4 months. And baby Doc Duvalier returns to Haiti.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, Haiti! This is Legion of News.
Good afternoon, I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, January 17th, 2011. Heavy weekend rains caused landslides and minor flooding in western portions of Washington and Oregon this weekend. The rains in Oregon were pushing some rivers and streams over their banks at a time when many waterways were already rising because of warming temperatures and melting snow, with some rivers reaching flood stage. In Washington, heavy rains caused problems along the Pacific Coast and the Cascades. Minor flooding was reported along several rivers, including the Cedar, Cowlitz, Snohomish, and Tolt. A veteran Washington State Department of Transportation worker was killed Sunday night by a falling tree on Highway 203 due to the flooding. The worker was setting up safety cones to alert motorists to power lines that were knocked down by the storm when a tree fell on his truck and caused his death. The trail up to the top of Multnomah Falls is temporarily closed because of landslide dangers. The tunnel that goes under Interstate 84 at Exit 31 is flooded, so access to the area is closed. Workers tried to keep it open using sandbags, but the flow of water was too strong. The Forest Service staff will reopen the trail in the tunnel when they're safe for public use. And also related, floodwaters washed away at least two homes Sunday night along the Sandy River near Welch's. Utility crews shut down power to areas where the Sandy River threatened homes. Dozens of homes close to the Sandy and Salmon Rivers have been voluntarily evacuated.
I was trying to do some sort of a poem here at the beginning, a sort of an ad hoc comedic rhyming, but really, there's nothing that rhymes with Snohomish. That's one of life's true facts, friends. Also, it's got to be strange to come home and see that your house is gone. You know, like if your house was there and then you come back later and it's not so much, it's got to be a weird way to start the week.
Yeah, I was wondering about those people that were in the West Hills, that their house just fell down the side of the mountain. I mean, I guess they had some, you know, warning of it ahead of time. In fact, they had been, like, suing someone about, like, the fact that they had bought this house and it was threatening to fall down.
I think building your house on the side of a mountain sort of obviates your ability later to complain about the fact that gravity might harm you. Seems like one of those... That seems like one of nature's ways of telling you you shouldn't be somewhere is that it's not on the ground, you know, here at sea level. It is, in fact, on the side of a mountain.
Legally, though, I think if you spend money for a house and the person you buy the house from says, oh, no, it's fine, it's not in danger of sliding down the mountain, and then you find out that they knew it was in danger of sliding down the mountain, I think in that case you really do
I guess if you bought it from a geologist, sure. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, otherwise, really, that's like somebody coming to me and saying, do I have cancer? And I go, no. Absolutely not. The hell do I know? I'm an idiot. So, I mean, the guy who sells you the house is just busy trying to make sure that you don't, you know, it's all they can do to keep you from finding out about the Indian burial ground. I mean, God forbid, you know, it's like they worry about, like, the shear factor or anything. How are you, Dawn?
I'm good.
I like your nail polish.
Why, thank you.
What color is that? Is that like an aquamarine?
Yeah, it's kind of a metallic aqua.
I like that.
Oh, thank you.
It's a fine way to start a Monday.
Oh, yes.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. My name is Rick Emerson. This is Dawn Taylor at the news desk. Coming up later on, we got your entertainment news as well as your science on the march as well. If you want to get this program later on today, you can do that via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. And it's also available on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Here is Dawn Taylor.
Fred Meyer's Burlingame store in southwest Portland will close for 4 months beginning May 2nd to allow for a $19 million remodel.
Oh, that's great. Can you make it as confusing and inefficient as the Fred Meyer and Hawthorne and 39th? That'd be swell. Make sure that you they get rid of all of the sections of the store that I use most frequently. Take all the other ones and put them upstairs. Rearrange the map so it makes no sense at all. And then just sort of to make it kind of a hat trick, just to finish the triumvirate here, could you take all of the various foods and organize them not according to what food they are, but according to what category of food within that section they fall into. In other words, don't put all the milk together. Make sure that the organic milk and the regular milk, two different sections of the store all together, hundreds of yards away from each other if possible, with no directions at point A to how to get to point B. Thanks.
There are similar problems at the Fred Meyer in Tualatin near where I live. And so my preference anymore is just to go to the Safeway simply because I know where everything is. And I don't have to, like, hike 14,000 miles to find something that seems perfectly normal and should be, like, say, in the grain section.
Yeah.
But because it's made by Bob's Red Mill, it's on the other side of the store in the health food department.
Yeah, using Fred Meyer is like using either the last two updates for Windows, you know, for Microsoft Word, where stuff that has been there for 15 years is now suddenly gone under the auspices of making it more convenient, and it's hidden under a glowing Windows button at the bottom of the screen where you will never, ever, ever find it or be able to figure it out from among the thicket of other menu items.
They also have this really interesting technique of taking items that are delicious and that you purchase all the time, and then just not selling them anymore.
Yeah.
And then you go to the manager, as you were supposed to do, supposedly. They always say, well, if you want something, let us know. And you go and you say, I can't find this. Oh, we don't sell that anymore.
It's
Why?
Gone.
We don't know.
Because you enjoy it, Dawn.
Because it makes you happy.
Because you can't have nice things. Also, make sure that you get rid of your clothing. That's the other thing. Because at no point does anybody go to Fred Meyer expecting to be able to get, you know, most of their shopping done in one trip.
Right.
And don't give any warning, by the way, that the clothing section is going to be gone until I'm late for Crew Fest 2, and it's 175 degrees, and I've got no shorts. All I've got are, you know, like full, like jeans. And then I just die of heat prostration on the way to Clark County. Thanks.
But devote, like, half of one entire floor to furniture.
Yeah,
which just, no one buys at Fred Meyer ever.
It's just ridiculous. Yeah, I can count on zero fingers the number of times I've said, you know what, I need a dining room table. Let me go to Fred Meyer for that. Jesus.
So Bob Curry-Wilson, the vice president of store development for Fred Meyer,
should be in the studio right now so I can get some answers out of him.
Who all of our comments are aimed at right now.
Me and a cigarette and that guy in 10 minutes. We'll figure it out.
Bob Curry-Wilson is the name of the vice president of store development. He said the store is closing also for safety reasons because of the small parking lot. And if you've ever gone to the Burlingame Fred Meyer, I think they do have a point there.
I suppose.
They're trying to move construction equipment around the store in the parking lot. And they wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, it sounds like the small parking lot's no longer going to be a problem because I would imagine they will have fewer customers once they hide everything.
Well, and also they're going to add 15,000 square feet to the store. So some of that is probably going to come out of the already too small parking lot.
Somebody failed problem solving 101.
Yeah.
There will be other improvements in sustainability and energy efficiency.
Other improvements. In addition to the improvements we've just heard about.
Oh, wait, there will be more room because they're tearing down the Burger King.
Okay.
So
here's the thing about Burger King, at least. When you go there, you know what you're probably going to get. You're going to be able to get, you know, a hamburger. And it's also going to be in the menu. They're not going to hide it in, you know, they're not going to hide it on a Sanskrit tablet that's buried in peat moss out back and then make a dig for it.
Yet you don't have to go get in a separate drive-through lane if you want a fish sandwich along with your burger.
Sons of bitches. I swear to God. I know that we're probably blowing our chances of getting advertising from the Kroger Foundation, which is a thing that Bruce Agler just clings to. But I'm telling you, man, I don't think in good conscience I could send people...
it depends on which Fred Meyer we're talking about. I mean, there's that Fred Meyer by the one on Wheedler or Weidler or whatever, the one by Lloyd Center. That Fred Meyer actually still laid out fine. I got to say, everything there is exactly where it ought to be. There's even, I was there this weekend. I will actually, this is completely true. I was at the Fred Meyer it's right off Broadway, over on Northeast by Sandy. I was there this weekend, and I actually spent, I bought, groceries, but I also got my, I got two watches fixed there, because they get a jewelry center, which I find actually can maintain all my various timepieces, in a good time frame for a reasonable amount of money. And so I had no problem giving them my cash. But you know what? That's one of the ones they haven't gotten to yet, and they'll probably remodel that place later on this year, and then you won't be able to find anything.
Oh, and the other thing about my Tualatin Fred Meyer that is really delightful is that they put the use scan checkout things all the way at one very far end of the store, the grocery store, which is like the entrance that is the most inconvenient to go into to actually shop.
Here's the other thing you should do with those U-Scan, and then we have to get off this because this is going to be the entire hour otherwise. the other thing you should do with those U-Scan devices, make sure that they're turned off at certain times during the day for, like, no readily apparent reason. By the way, this also includes Safeway. Just, like, when I'm getting in there, I'm trying to buy my stuff and get out. Make sure that they're just closed and turned off, even though it doesn't require any additional work to keep them. And it costs, like, 5 cents an hour just to keep them idling if nobody's using them. Makes no sense. So I go in there at 11 o'clock at night. Hey, I got my... And 11 o'clock at night, they may make the argument that that's when they're not necessary because there's very few customers. That's exactly when they're necessary because if you go into a Safeway, as I do, to do your shopping late at night, because then I can have to stand with other people, they've also only ever got one guy running a checkout, and he's also stocking the Hispanic food aisle. And so you stand there like a dick for 10 minutes waiting for the guy to figure out that there is somebody standing at the front, wanting to buy some Pepto-Bismol or something. And then I just got to stand around for the guy.
Also, if I go to the grocery store at 11 o'clock at night, odds are best that I am, like, tired and cranky or drunk and really don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah. So how's your evening going, Ms. Taylor?
Right, so that would be Bob Curry Wilson, Vice President of Store Development for
I swear to God.
Fred Meyer.
I'm sure he's a nice man who loves his family, but I'm just telling you, really, someday there's going to be a revolution, pal. The stores are going to be put back the way that they ought to be.
Curry Wilson's head will be on a pike.
That's Don Taylor who said that. Rick Emerson doesn't endorse violence as a solution. Not publicly, anyway. Inside, yes. Not externally. You're listening to Legion of News. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, January 17th, 2011. Here is Don Taylor.
A lot of prominent Republicans. I'm not sure what the exact number is. It just says a lot.
A fistful.
A passel of prominent Republicans gathered in Coral Gables, Florida, for a two-day Hispanic Leadership Network conference. They discussed ways to court Latino voters. Texas Senator John Cornyn says Democrats have dropped the ball when it comes to immigration.
During his campaign...
I'm sorry, is this Immigration One?
It is indeed.
Let's see here. Immigration.
During his campaign, President Obama promised both LULAC and the National Council of La Raza that immigration reform would be a top priority during his first year in office. Obviously, that did not happen.
Is there a National Council of La Raza? Well, there must be. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. If I were Aaron Duran, I could do it with a proper roll of the R, and I could wave my fist angrily at the white man. Which I should do anyway.
You should, okay. Always. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who knows a thing or two about wooing Latino voters.
Woo!
Well, he's married to a Latino woman.
Not that kind of wooing.
No.
Okay.
He's married to a Latino woman and has little brown babies, as W called his nephews that one time. He says that conservatives would be incredibly stupid to ignore the Hispanic vote.
It is important to realize that the Hispanic population, which is the fastest growing population in the country, will also eventually be the fastest growing population of voters.
Just say it, Jeb. They're taking over.
Bush pointed out the Hispanic population is the fastest growing population in the country.
If you believe in the conservative philosophies as I do, it would be incredibly stupid over the long haul to ignore the burgeoning Hispanic vote.
Okay.
Yeah.
La Raza!
So I'm just curious, since apparently they have agreed that it would be good to have Hispanics vote for them, and they're offering what in return, I'm wondering? What with wanting to make sure no one gets health care and that...
Well, really, how is that different from what they're offering anybody else?
You know, wages and jobs aren't available.
I think here's the thing.
And they're against immigration.
They're not against immigration. No one is against immigration.
Everyone. Everyone hates immigration.
No one is against immigration. Even you know that that's not true. even from your left side of the room over there, you know that that's ridiculous. No, they're offering equality. They're offering the brown man to get screwed in exactly the same way that Whitey has been screwed all these years, you know? I mean, take like half your paycheck and you're not going to get to go to the hospital. There you go. Welcome to America, jackass. So, we're all getting the same deal.
That's a great platform.
I'm just saying, if you're asking what are they offering Hispanic voters, in a way, they're not, it really is.
I'm just saying they're talking about wooing them. And generally, to woo indicates that you're like offering something appealing.
I don't know. What do you want to offer them? Like a 2-for-1 pants at Kmart? I don't really know that they can just go to your house and give you $15. I mean, look, if they can, Rick Emerson wants some of that. Then you just sign me up for, you know, whatever it is they're handing out. I think they're just offering to give everybody exactly the same level of screwing. I think, in my estimation, I can't really speak for the Hispanic population, but I would imagine rather than being given something as such, they would probably. My guess is that the Hispanic portion of this country they would just settle for only being as screwed as the rest of us, not getting like an additional 80% screwing on top of it.
See, there's the platform. We're going to screw you less than we've been screwing you previously so that you're getting the same level of screwing as everyone.
It'll be a sort of,
huzzah!
There'll be like a sort of, you know, there'll be an equanimity in terms of the screwing.
All right. Portland City Hall is investigating several new large billboards around town to see if they are of legal size. Architect Peter Major noticed the ads while taking his family downtown for the holidays, and all of a sudden the signs were just front and center and you could not miss them.
Which signs?
He said. Well, apparently there's one of them is a new Timbers ad that's wrapped around a designated historic building near Burnside and Broadway.
Oh, I know exactly the one. I know exactly what they're talking about. It's, there's that whole... You know, and I'm not like a soccer fan or anything, but there's that whole ad campaign that's out now where it's like it's they've taken actual fans, just, you know, guys, and there's the one I think that's the guy and his two daughters, which is sort of great because they're all holding axes, and it's they're all either like painted up or whatever, they're like clutching, I don't know, spears or something, and they're standing on those billboards are everywhere. What are you doing?
I'm
waving at imaginary flies over there.
No, I'm having some wiring problems. Every once in a while, the sound
to my headphones.
Oh, I agree. You're
having some wiring problems.
Is anyway.
Okay.
The city has rules about how large a sign can be, but enforcement of those rules ended when budget cuts and layoffs hit Commissioner Randy Leonard's Bureau of Development Services. Leonard says, we don't have anybody to enforce the sign code, but I've been working to come up with a way to borrow an employee from another bureau.
To borrow an employee. I wonder if the employee knows that, or if he's just going to go by and get, if he's just going to be manacled and dragged off behind Randy Leonard.
Some of the building owners are insisting that the large billboards were grandfathered in before the code went into effect.
Is this really what we have to worry about in this city, is how large a sign somewhere might be? Is that it? An outdoor picture might be 6 inches too big, and so therefore everything has to grind to a halt. You know, nobody has a job, right? You are aware of that. And also that pothole in front of my house, it's been there for like 5 years. I swear to Christ, it gets deeper every year.
Well, maybe you should put a giant sign around it and they'll pay attention.
I should fill it with illegal immigrants. The city will come take care of it then. That's what we should totally do. We should hire, we should just hire brown people to just stand next to something that we need fixed. Legal, illegal, doesn't matter. Because, you know, the city will immediately come and see exactly what's up there. Hold on, there's a brown person. We better stop and see exactly the nature of this situation.
Or you could get a little girl to set up a lemonade stand. Like right next to the pothole.
Be sort of markers, you know, just to sort of draw the city's attention there.
The Willamette River, speaking of things that need fixing, is once
That's
again
brown enough, Don.
Once again, the focus of a major rescue effort. This time, the goal is to restore the web of connections between the river and its floodplain. Stan Gregory, the Oregon State University stream ecologist, says every 40 years ago or so, an effort is made to save the Willamette. Efforts go back to the 1930s when Oregonians, who were appalled at the rising tide of filth that had turned the river into an open sewer in the 1930s, passed a referendum to create the state's first sewage treatment standard.
You know, working, what is his, what's the department where he works? What is his?
He is actually a OSU stream ecologist.
That's got to be the easiest job on earth because every day you just go in and go, it's filled with poop. That's it. It never changes.
Don't swim in it.
No. I mean, you know, you've got one report you put out every 90 days. That's it.
So this time the charge is being led by the Willamette Special Investment Partnership, which has awarded about $4 million in grants to a half a dozen projects up and down the Willamette.
Okay.
And all of which, I believe, will come up with the conclusion that it's filled with poop. Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords underwent successful surgery. I can't talk this morning. Have you noticed that?
No, I actually haven't. You sound fine.
Okay.
I have noticed no issues.
I just keep stumbling over very simple words. Arizona Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords underwent successful surgery over the weekend.
Now I'm going to notice it, though. Every time you mangle a syllable, every time you slur everything even very slightly, it's going to jump out. Okay. Now everybody will notice it.
She underwent successful surgery over the weekend to repair fractures in her eye socket. Dr. Michael Lamol said she could be released to a rehabilitation center sooner rather than later.
You want to talk about a place where I don't want to be fractured? It's in the eye. That's it. I think I speak for everybody there when I say the eye. Do you ever hear one of those stories about like some kid playing softball and there's a line drive beans him right in the face and then he gets an ocular fracture? It's just, I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, I know there's a whole lot wrong with this, you know, with being shot, but I mean, really, the eye fracture is right at the top of the list of the things you don't want.
Have you ever, or had a friend who almost had a horrible traumatic eye injury?
Yes.
In a way, that's almost worse.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, I had a really good friend who was helping tether some stuff to a top of a car, and a bungee cord let loose at the other end of the car and came like snapping from about like 6 feet away towards him and got him like right at the corner of the eye. And he actually lost sight in his eye for about an hour. But it was one of those things that, you know, he told me the story later that all he knew is that the bungee cord, the metal pointy bungee cord thing, had come snapping back and it got him in the eye. And so, of course, he spent like an hour going, I'm blind. Oh my God, I lost my eye. And then eventually it came back. But that's horrifying.
When I was about, 7 or 8 years of age, my brother and I were, we were roughhousing, as they say, and playing grab ass, as my grandfather would call it. And I forget exactly what it was, but it was like, I don't know, one of us was hiding under the bed, and the other one was like, you know, I don't know, one of us was hitting the other with something, and, you know, just doing what idiot little boys do. And
it was horseplay.
Yeah, and so I was under the bed, I think, and I had been hiding, and he was like, I don't know, he was like jabbing me with a stick or something. And all I remember is that I was sort of flailing around, you know, trying to smack back at him with something or other, and my hand closed on some item that had fallen under the bed. And I didn't know what it was. I guess I thought it was a toy or something. And so I grabbed whatever it was in my hand, and I just started, like, hitting at him. And I couldn't really see him again because I'm under the bed and it's dark and there's a bunch of crap under there. And so I grab whatever it is, I guess, thinking it was, like, you know, like I said, just a toy. And I started, like, kind of hitting at him with this foreign object. And I hear this, ah! And I'm like, well, that's a weird sound. I've hit pay dirt. Hurrah. Let's see what kind of injury I've inflicted. And what I had grabbed, unbeknownst to, it was an old school ballpoint pen. Not the clickable kind, just the kind where it's always sort of, you know, the metal tip. And it was like one of those old sharp-ass, like, Papermate pens that you would get, like, at McDonald's or something. And I had been sort of flailing at him, but what I didn't realize is when you're holding a ballpoint pen, the flailing becomes a stabbing motion. And the metal tip of the ballpoint pen, which was very jagged, I had actually stabbed him directly in the face, between the side of his nose and his right eye.
Oh.
And I had actually stabbed him, and again, I didn't know I was doing this, but I had stabbed him actually so hard that he was actually bleeding, and there was a long tear down, just like, I swear to God, just like a hair's breadth. Outside of like where your tear duct starts.
Oh man!
And that's one of those things where you think like if he had just breathed at the wrong time, if I had moved ever so slightly, it would have been like, you know, one lens too many.
And then the first words out of your mouth are, "Don't tell mom."
Exactly. No, that was my thing. It's like I will beat your ass if you tell mom or dad about this. Seriously, I will come back and I will finish the job while you sleep, little man. Have no doubt about that. So.
Well, anyway, Gabrielle Giffords' eye socket has been repaired.
A different kind of horseplay.
And her doctor says she could be released fairly soon.
Could be a matter of days to weeks. Again, it's a matter of getting all that information from our own therapists when they think she's ready to move forward with that.
She should just, you know, and she should spend every day, like once a week, her action item ought to be to just go by and just taunt that guy. Just stand, you know, what's his name, the I've forgotten his name
Loughner.
Already. Jay Loughner. Is it Jason?
Yeah.
Justin?
Jared?
Jared Loughner. She ought to go by, you know, just like once a week and just do like a little dance outside of his cell, you know? Just sort of, I can walk in, I can walk out. I can step in, I can step out. I'm going to get a taco. Yeah? Just, you know, occasionally just come by and just have like a sort of a, like she ought to celebrate her birthdays in the hallway outside his cell.
A pony,
yeah.
A clown, cake.
Yeah.
Just walk back and forth eating a big piece of cake.
Yeah. You know, just that's what I would do. I would make that like job number one, is just to annoy that guy in every conceivable way for the rest of my life.
Dr. Randy Freese says a breathing tube was removed from Gifford's nose, but a second one was inserted in her neck.
She cannot vocalize, but she certainly could mouth words or something like that when she's ready to do that.
Oh, when she's ready to.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I don't want to be. I don't want to be shot or stabbed in the eye. This story has really confirmed that for me. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program storms the airwaves and encircles the globe like a big encircling thing. You can hear that at RickEmersonShow.com. That is RickEmersonShow.com today. Darwin Watch, really?
Indeed.
Excellent. Darwin Watch, Clown Watch coming up today. Geek Watch coming up today. Ryan White, music editor from the Oregonian, is going to join us. Aaron Duran with the Week in Geek. We will talk to him live. And then I put together a top five. I'm going to try to boil this description down because it's sort of... There's just too many asterisks and things involved with this. It's
sort of a David Foster Wallace subtitled kind of a top five.
Exactly. It is the top five songs about a celebrity. But they're sort of crush songs, for lack of a better word. You know what I mean? In other words, it's not, you know...
Like Infatuation Crush or like...
Yeah, like Infatuation...
Like
yes.
Fetish Video Crush.
Yes, it's about dancing on... It's about dancing on Robert Guillaume in high heels. I would like it if you would stop that. In any event. But it's sort of like top five songs about having a crush on a celebrity. Yeah. I guess maybe that's the best way to put it. So that's not entirely accurate, but that's just going to have to do it for our purposes here. So that'll be coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com.
Let's do our science news.
Here's your science on the march for Monday, January 17th, 2011.
The maker of BlackBerry promised Indonesia today that it will meet the country's request to filter out pornographic content on smartphones in the next 4 days. Research in Motion Limited made a commitment... Research in Motion Limited, that's what they're called, made a commitment last week to install the filters after Indonesia threatened to revoke BlackBerry's license to operate in the country, which is the world's most populous Muslim nation. The Canada-based company worked out the details of the deal in a meeting with government officials today. Managing Director of RIM for Southeast Asia, Gregory Wade, said the company had discussed the issue with the six operators that support BlackBerry service in Indonesia and will be implementing together.
It's a good thing that God gives you the self-control to just not look at boobs on the internet, huh?
Ministry of Communication and Information spokesman Gatot Dewabrodo. Honest to God,
he's a
like,
fun-loving guy.
Gatot Dewabrodo said the company promised.
Are you singing a Styx song over there?
He said the company promised to do so within 100 hours of the meeting, ahead of the government's deadline on January 21st. The government has also agreed to set up servers in the country as requested. A number of countries have expressed national security concerns about encrypted information on users' BlackBerries if RIM didn't come up with a way for governments to monitor them. They have threatened to shut out RIM, whose competitive edge rests on ensuring security to its global users. NASA officials say an astronaut who had been slated for a spacewalk on an upcoming shuttle mission has been hurt in a bicycle accident.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
The space agency said in a release late Saturday that Kim Kropra will be okay, but officials are still evaluating if he'll be able to perform his duties when the shuttle Discovery launches to the International Space Station on February 24th.
If they were going to put you on the space station, like if you had the chance of going on space, wouldn't you just sit at home like the boy in the bubble? Why would you even leave the house? I mean, I would just sit at home. I would get a room lined with just bubble wrap and egg crates and styrofoam, and I would just stay in there and just have my meals slid under the door to me every day until. And then I would have them put me in a gelatinous bubble of like ectoplasmic goo and roll me to the space station so nothing could happen to me.
I mean, honestly, a bicycle accident.
That's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like when you hear those stories about, like, you remember, like, James Hetfield was, like, water skiing or something the other day? He was on, like, what were those things at Kenny Powers rides?
Oh, jet skis.
Yeah, he was like on a jet ski or something. And it was like he was supposed to play a show for like 700 million people. And he like jet skied like into a wall or something. And you just think, like, why would you do that? You know?
Because they don't. Everyone thinks that they are indestructible. I remember watching one of those behind-the-scenes things of the Lord of the Rings movies. And just, you know, Viggo Mortensen and Orlando Bloom and stuff. Like, you know, parasailing and cliff diving and doing all these things and just going, they're not supposed to know we're doing this right now. Like, really? Because you have, like, a $600 billion movie resting on your back? Maybe you shouldn't be skydiving?
It's fantastic.
A lavish new yacht recreating the billionaire's playground of Monaco is set to become the world's most expensive. The staggering 155-meter Streets of Monaco yacht is expected to cost over $1.1 billion to build and is modeled on a section of Monte Carlo. Currently in the design stage, the super ship will feature smaller versions of the state's famous landmarks, such as the Monte Carlo Casino and racetrack.
On a boat.
So it's going to be a smaller version of the racetrack. So is it going to be like ponies?
Is it just a treadmill?
As well as swimming pools, tennis courts, a cinema, a go-kart track, and a Hotel de Paris.
It'll just be sort of hamsters. You know?
I forgot to do this. I am going to upload this, by the way, to...
Well, the photograph?
Yeah, I have the picture.
How big is the boat itself?
The boat is 155 meters.
No,
which
no, no.
I'm not any good at.
How many football fields is that, Don?
That would be 5 football fields.
Okay, thank you.
So, travelers will also spot... It's going to have buildings, and instead of a swimming platform, it will have a beach.
Really?
On the ship.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you say the boat is actually owned by Monaco itself?
No, it's just modeled on Monaco.
It's just owned by some guy?
Yeah. It's also, I think there's also going to be a small waterfall and a swim-in jacuzzi bar, helicopters, and submarines on board.
Okay.
The one-of-a-kind ship could be home to 16 guests and 70 crew. 16 guests, by the way. With a main apartment spread over 3 floors and 445 meters.
It seems like they're underutilizing the space ever so slightly. I think that maybe they need to stack items in the pantry sideways as opposed to frontways.
The people who built it said we wanted to create a truly unique environment that could take the Principality of Monaco to the ocean.
Was there really a call for that? I mean, was that a thing that... Was there somewhere in the world 16 people whose lives were not complete because they were not able to live on a, you know, on a completely functional seagoing yacht that was a representation of a specific street somewhere else in the world? Couldn't you just afford to go live in Monaco?
You could. I think this is probably designed for, like, rich Arabs who, like, have decided that the Arab Emirates just aren't fancy enough for them anymore.
They want to be able to take it with them.
Yeah.
Sort of a pocket kingdom.
So actually, okay. I have just emailed that, so it should
appear.
Is
it going to make me angry?
It probably will. It's ridiculous.
I just got this text message. This is just... Our friend Keelan just weighs in and says, I hate anyone involved with this effing boat.
It reminds me, honest to God, of there were these great pieces done in the early 80s, I think, for National Lampoon, where this artist did these cars called Bulgemobiles. And they were takeoffs on, like, car ads from the 50s for, like, just enormous cars, except this was taking them just these ridiculous limits where, you know, you could put, like, 30 people inside the car.
The size of a city block.
And it had, like, 14 fins off the back and that sort of thing. But, yes.
Did you ever go see the... Because one of the other... There was another boat that was sort of like this, or a ship, or a yacht. I don't know what it... I don't know when it stops becoming a boat, you know, and it starts becoming a ship. But did you ever see that ship, The World, when it was here?
Yes. Oh,
so
God, yes.
That was actually a thing that... I can't remember if they would let us on board or not. It seems likely that they probably wouldn't. But there was this... But there's this ship called The World. And The World was another one of these sort of super mega ginormo yachts. And it was... You know, it was the same thing. And it held... You know, it was, I don't know. It had like 25 apartments or something on it. And that was it. And it was like... You know, and the thing was like the size of a small planet. And it held almost no one. So, all right. Well, I will... I'll check. That should be posted here at the...
Yes.
At rickemerson.com/pictures in just a...
Okay, and that is all of our science.
All right, there's your science news. That is for Monday, January 17th, 2011. That is what you should do is you should hit the refresh button over and over and over again because that'll make it appear faster.
No, I was just going to actually look it up where I had it stored. That's the picture of it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe how huge that is. That's... Wow.
And they just, like... It does not look like it ought to be seaworthy. I'm sorry, that just does not look... I mean, we're looking at like a Titanic-like disaster in the making with this thing.
This really is... It's like a full-on Crimson Permanent Assurance. It's like a building has... It's like a section of downtown London.
Yeah.
Has dislodged itself and is torn over into the Thames and is now floating out into the ocean.
Yes.
Jesus. So did you... you did mail that to the...
I did. So
the visual aids
thing? That will be available.
All right, that'll be appearing at...
RickEmerson.com/pictures.
All right. Jesus, that really is, it's sizable. That doesn't, here's the thing, that looks so, now is that, does it actually exist or is that like a rendering?
That's a rendering.
Okay, so that's not like a picture.
No, they've just, talked about how they're gonna build it. They haven't done it yet.
No, weird me out if the thing actually existed already. Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Coming up later on this hour, we got your entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program featuring Geek Watch, Clown Watch, Darwin Watch, Ryan White, music editor from The Oregonian. We'll also have your top five infatuation songs about and a celebrity. Let's see. And we've got Aaron Duran with The Week in Geek. Legion of News brought to you by Squires Electric. Find out more about them at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. Say, Mom, if you're going to be building the ship of tomorrow, really, wow, I can't get over how... Here's the thing about that. That's so big, it looks like one of those little mini kingdoms that you would see on the front of, like, a Settlers of Catan expansion pack or something, you know?
Yeah, or it's some kind of, like, crazy thing that you would build in, like, a SimCity game or something. I'm going to build my town on a ship.
I mean, that's just huge. They've done the thing of putting something in the foreground to give it a sense of scale, though. There's like a regular, like, you know, like an aircraft carrier or something floating alongside it. Wow. Okay, I got to quit looking at that. SquiresElectric.com is there to help you wire your home, business, megaloship, hovercraft, whatever it is you might have. It's 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609. And now that it appears that we're actually not going to really get any winter as such, I mean, now that every day is just going to become, you know, blah, 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 sunny and warm, and we're heading toward spring inexorably. If you're going to be remodeling, if you're going to be doing any sort of construction work at your home, or again, if you've got a business that you're going to be either creating or expanding, you want to make sure that all your wiring is done correctly the first time so that you don't, so the man doesn't come by and, you know, and sort of, you know, ding you and, you know, give you a bunch of fines and, you know, you have to go back and start everything from scratch again, and then there's more inspecting, and then it's a whole thing. And anyway, 503-252-1609. Electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, intercom wiring of any kind at your home or office. And get it done right the first time. 503-252-1609. Free estimates. You can contact them at SquiresElectric.com. If it has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business, they can make your life easier. That is SquiresElectric.com. Proud sponsors of Science on the March. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, today is Martin Luther King Jr.'s observed birthday.
Is this his birthday or is this the... I can never tell what we're observing. What would have happened today if he were, you know, still around? It's one of those like birth or death or he did a thing.
Well, I assume it's his birthday, but I don't
know. Does that move every year?
Because I think they always observe it on a day so that there's a 3-day weekend. So I think it's an observed holiday.
In death as in life, the white man just makes him get up and move. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. No, I know you wanted to have your... I know you were born on a Wednesday, but we need this space. You're going to have to move to Monday. Thank you. Move along.
We want a good reason to not deliver the mail for one day. So,
Nothing. I was just going to make more crass observations.
By the way, does it suddenly smell like garlic in here, or am I having a stroke?
No, you got to quit doing that, because now it just makes me wonder if whatever you have is catching, because it happens like once a week.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's a national holiday, and today it's a time for the country to reflect on how well the civil rights leaders' dreams have been fulfilled. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, unsurprisingly, is less than satisfied with
By the way, it is the observance of his birthday. However, of course, his birthday, not actually today.
Right.
All right. So in that way, Martin Luther King Jr. is like Jesus, you know? Like, whenever his birthday was, we're just gonna arbitrarily put it here today. So that's how I'm going to try to look at that glass as being half equal.
It's like the whole thing where we used to have Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, and then we just decided to have President's Day.
There's sort of the and the rest of the celebrity birthday world. I'm sorry, this is what?
This would be King One. This is Jesse Jackson expressing his usual disappointment in the white man.
His usual gruff dissatisfaction with the state of things.
Yes.
All right, let's all brace ourselves. This is going to take like an hour.
You'll be delighted to know that we have come to a higher level of socialization, enough to vote for each other across lines of race and gender and religion. But then, on the other hand, the issue of violence. the shooting of Congresswoman Gabriel Giffords, it simply illuminates just how much more violent we've become.
I think he's got a mouthful of sauerkraut.
Jackson thinks King would be disappointed in some developments.
While the rich have gotten much richer because they've been subsidized.
Have they, Jesse Jackson, have the rich who are somewhere other than you, the rich have gotten richer?
Yeah, it's
Jesse Jackson hasn't gotten any richer.
Jesse Jackson, a solidly middle class fellow, is he?
Yeah, he's living in government housing, I think, yeah.
While the rich have gotten much richer because they've been subsidized, 59 million have no health insurance. So he would be disturbed about the lack of a commitment to close that gap.
I'm sorry. I'm just being reflexively snarky. I probably shouldn't have said that.
The first family, that would be President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, spent a portion of the King holiday by participating in a service project in the nation's capital. President Obama took some time out to speak to reporters and photographers at the event sponsored by Greater DC Cares.
I hope that all the projects that are taking place all across the country on this day are getting similar attention because this is part of what America is all about.
But I know there's some sort of like a scarab clacking in front of my kid. There's some sort of large beetle between him and the microphone. I can't quite hear him.
Those are his robotic Secret Service agents.
With their metallic talons.
They're clacking razor-sharp jaws on their laser eyes.
The thing about Jesse Jackson is that I realized this as I was listening to the second cut when he was talking about the rich getting richer, that I was sort of just projecting like all of this stuff onto him, which he wasn't actually saying, which I think is probably what everybody does to him. I mean, I think you could probably pick, and this is just the reality, I think you could probably pick almost anyone off the street. Doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, in what city they live. You pick anybody off the street, and there's like a 50-50 chance that when you play a soundbite by Jesse Jackson or tell them they're about to hear it, they will just roll their eyes. And it's been like, oh, for the love of crazy rhyming something again? Jesus. Just because I think that that is really maybe half his own fault because he is sort of actively ludicrous sometimes. But also just that, like, he has become inextricably intertwined with the media representation of himself. Sort of like, not unlike George W. Bush or Bush Sr., for that matter, where it's like when Jesse Jackson opens his mouth to speak, immediately I just hear like every bad, like, Night at the Improv comic doing a whole rhyming scheme with him. And I think it just makes it difficult to listen to anything he has to say.
Yeah. I mean, better to him than Al Sharpton, I will say that.
The thing is, here's the thing about Al Sharpton is Al Sharpton is consistently entertaining. Al Sharpton, you have never once seen that guy speak, where you have not just, where it is not past the time, and put a big smile on your face. If you see Al Sharpton speaking anywhere, doesn't matter. Al Sharpton could be cutting the ribbon at like a Supercuts somewhere. You know, he could just be like in a nail salon, and today I say to you, and you're just like, oh, that's awesome. And immediately when he speaks, you just feel like your pulse races and you feel a lot of energy because he's just got,
He also has a very sort of a giddy look of joy in his eyes that you can tell Sharpton actually enjoys what he's doing, whereas Jesse Jackson anymore just looks like he's tired and doesn't really want to be doing this anymore, but it's like, damn it, I have to go out and be Jesse Jackson again. He'd rather be home just watching TV.
Jesse Jackson is just sort of like a log rolling down a hill where it's sort of, it's just kind of going along with just out of inertia and momentum at this point, but gradually slowing as it reaches the bottom, and it just sort of boom, boom. Whereas Al Sharpton, I get the idea, this is why I love him, I get the idea that every time Al Sharpton stands behind a microphone, because he is a very invigorating public speaker, it was at the Democratic Convention 2004, because it was the one when they nominated What's-His-Guts, Kerry, where Sharpton got up to speak. And it was just great because you got the sense that every time he steps on a microphone, he just wants to see how many people he can irritate. And I can get with that. That's the thing with which I can identify. It's like, how many people can I possibly annoy during this one, like, 7-minute speech that they have allotted me? And so, again, it doesn't matter where he is, what he's talking about, what he's saying. His whole thing is just to give you, like, a constant, like, finger in the eye. Whereas he's right. With Jesse Jackson, he's sort of like, I don't know, he's like an SUV rolling to a stop by the side of the road over those, like, ba-bum, ba-bum things.
Well, and he's getting those big baggy red-rimmed eyes like a basset hound. So, he just doesn't have the energy or the desire to be doing this crap anymore.
I really could use a long nap of some kind today, or perhaps a B12 injection, if anyone has a syringe in their pocket.
Well, of course you asked me to speak on MLK Day, because I knew him, and I'm a black man. Blah, 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 rich white people don't like them.
Does anyone have a sweater? All right.
In a move that stunned Haitians, Jean-Claude Duvalier, the much-reviled former dictator of Haiti known as Baby Doc, returned to his country after 25 years in exile in France. No one is quite sure why the man, who was handed the presidency by his father, François Papa Doc Duvalier, at 19, and who ruled Haiti from 1971 to 86, would return, but he did so at a critical time. Haiti is still struggling to recover from last year's earthquake and is in the midst of a political crisis after November's elections were widely derided as fraudulent. Duvalier reportedly came to help his country, according to local journalists who managed to talk to him at the airport.
So I imagine things in Haiti are going to turn around any moment now.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. No one knows what to think, except that it could completely change Haiti's political future. At least in the short term, an expert told the Miami Herald, the Haitian political chessboard has changed and changed utterly. Although he was widely hated when he was forced into exile, some supporters have been trying to build up his image recently, and he could attempt to capitalize on Haiti's current misery by emphasizing the relative stability of the dictatorship.
Haiti's current misery.
Yeah.
Because up till like a few weeks ago, it was a happening place. They were going to make a whole ship that was just a representation of Haiti, by the way. They were just going to take downtown Haiti, and they were going to put it on a raft, and you were going to be able to rent an apartment on it.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like what the Republicans are trying to bank on right now. It's coming in and saying, you know how much you hated me when I was in charge before? Well, things are so crappy now that looks like a dream.
I look great. Wow. I mean, and what was the opening line of the opening line of the story when you said Haitians were stunned?
Haitians were stunned.
I mean, do you suppose anything could really stun Haitians at this point?
I suppose baby Doc Duvalier coming home could be stunned.
And just waking up every day of your life in the worst place on earth, just looking at, I had so many Mai Tais last night, I hope it was all a dream. And then you look out the window, damn it, I still live in Haiti. You know, you're in the worst country in the Western Hemisphere. And according to some estimates, well, like one of the five worst countries in the world. Oh, and also, not only was it the worst country in the world, that was before an earthquake destroyed it all. So now it's the worst country in the world, and it's in tiny pieces. I mean, it's basically an entire place stocked from like a burned down dollar store at this point. So really, you know, there could be worse things than just for the karmic wheel to just start. You talk about a country that needs a do-over button. That just needs a hard boot, that whole place. Just a Control-Alt-Delete. We're going to move you somewhere else, like Wyoming or something.
By the way, I used to have a dog that I used to call her Baby Dog. And then I started calling her Baby Dog Duvalier. And then I made up a little song about it that I would sing to her, where I go, Baby Dog Do, Baby Dog Do, Baby Dog Duvalier. And the dog would jump and wag her tail and thought that was hilarious.
Burn people at the stake.
Yeah. An investigation is underway at the Knoxville Zoo this afternoon after a trainer was killed by one of her elephants. The 8,000-pound elephant backed the trainer, Stephanie James, into a stall on Friday, crushing her to death. The African elephant named Edie, who was involved in the incident, will not be punished or disciplined. The zoo calls the death a tragic accident. They say that Edie was not acting aggressively.
Uh-huh.
The elephant was said to have been following the desperate commands of another trainer to move back, but it was too late.
Back, back, no, front! Damn, I always forget those.
Not that way back, the other way. Oh,
I was confused left and right.
The three elephants at the zoo are now being kept away from direct human contact.
Let's see, wait, this, white children raining from the heavens would probably shock Haitians. No, you are correct, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably accurate.
Free boxes of food and maybe somebody coming and building them some buildings with actual electricity.
Don't be crazy.
That would stun them.
And we should also read this. Here's an observation. This is back on the MLK Jackson Sharpton thing. This is again our friend Keelan Wagon. He says, FYI, as a black man, I hate this holiday. Says everybody sitting around talking about a 50-year-old speech in lieu of doing anything at all to make anything actually happen over the last 50 years. Well, that's sort of the thing, right? It's like,
well,
you can,
that's the American way.
Exactly, you can name check it. You know, it's like getting one of those cups from Starbucks that says like made out of 10% biodegradable recycled cardboard. You know, as opposed to actually going and, you know, and helping anybody or assisting in any way. I mean, all we're really missing is just like wearing a bracelet, you know, that has some like an inspirational slogan on the side, and then, you know, and then a website. And you can go, no, I've done my part. And then you just hold it up to the camera.
Well, let's do our entertainment news.
Let's see. Here is your entertainment news for Monday, January 17th, 2011.
Presenting the Best Picture category for in the Golden Globes last night. By the way, the Golden Globes were last night.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until the, I think maybe it was last night or maybe it was this morning or something that I saw like a recap of. Wait, but this wasn't the nominations, it's the actual awards.
No, this is the actual awards. I
just blinked and missed it.
I watch the Golden Globes every year because that and the Independent Spirit Awards are both award shows where there is lots and lots of free booze. So traditionally, the Golden Globes have been the most interesting in the last hour when everybody's been sitting around just boozing it up all night. Last night, not so much. What was interesting about the show last night was that there were, on several occasions, among Ricky Gervais, who was the host, and a couple of the presenters, really sharp, like, snide remarks about the ceremony itself. Because the thing about the Golden Globes is everyone knows it is stupid and it doesn't mean anything. It's run by the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, which has 90 members, not all of whom vote. So it's
like four guys who are deciding everything.
Yeah, basically last year I think there were 53 guys who voted in the Golden Globes, which means that like 12 votes for something could win it an award. It's
so they all know that it's kind of a farce.
And yeah, and there are a bunch of entertainment journalists who are posted. They write for non-American publications, many of whom are widely considered by people in the business to be the hackiest of hacks. So it's really, the Golden Globes has always just been a vanity thing that they do so they can have a big party and hang out with movie stars once a year.
I did see the thing from Ricky Gervais where he was sort of, and again in his own sort of, you know, acidly amusing style, was lambasting Steve Carell for leaving the cash cow of a show,
yes.
The Office.
Well, Ricky Gervais, he's gotten a lot of criticism for being mean.
Yeah.
Which he was last year, and everyone found it was funny. This year, for some reason, they're going, oh, he's mean. Like, one of the jokes he said, it's going to be a night of partying and heavy drinking, or as Charlie Sheen calls it, breakfast.
Yeah, see, that's not really even that mean.
No, but he also did a joke about, like, him partying and then having a hooker in his closet. So, he said, nothing for Sex in the City 2. I was sure the award for best special effects would go to the team that airbrushed that poster. And then he went on from there to say, oh, come on, we all know how old you are. I saw one of you in an episode of Bonanza.
That's hilarious.
So there was a point later in the show where he introduced Tom Hanks, and well, he also he introduced Robert Downey Jr. by reading the names of a number of his movies, and then saying he thought they were all porn movies, like Iron Man 2, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Come on!
Awesome.
And then he said, but you may know him best from his appearances at the Los Angeles Correctional Institute. So when Tom Hanks and Tim Allen came out, Ricky Gervais was off the teleprompter and was reading from cue cards. And then Tom Hanks made some really nasty remark about how Ricky Gervais used to be fun-loving and kind, but now he's gotten, like, really nasty. And I think what they did was, I honestly think that the producers went, you got to tone it down. You can't be mean to Tom Hanks.
Everybody will revolt if you're mean to Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and then just because I guess there was a lot of grumbling in the audience, too, that people thought he was too mean. Then he disappeared
for
a good hour and a half of the show. And everyone on Twitter was going, what happened to Ricky Gervais? Did they just fire him in the middle of the show?
Oh, see, now I'm sad that I missed it. Because but we'd been talking about, I guess we talked about the nominations when they came out. And then the thing was last night, but I guess it snuck up on me. I think I just, I didn't even realize that it was going to be on.
Yeah, I didn't either until about like 10 minutes before it was on, and I went, oh, yeah, that's happening.
Well, let me ask you this. So this airs, the Golden Globe, but where did it air? Who carried it?
One of the networks.
Like ABC or somebody?
NBC.
Because you got to figure that like all they really care about is the viewers. I mean, all they care about is the ratings that it gets. And everybody, this is a thing that should be well established by now, that you get the guy out there that is sort of a loose cannon, that's sort of a wild card, that's the one. That's the guy that you want because that's what everybody watches. As has been noted many, many times, one of the biggest mistakes that, not that I'm really in their target demo anymore, but one of the big mistakes the VMAs made was when they got rid of Chris Rock. Because I remember 2004, something like that, the first VMAs that Chris Rock hosted where it was like savage. I mean, it was merciless. It was shockingly sharp in terms of his. And the thing about Chris Rock, not unlike Ricky Gervais, he was sort of making jokes that pointed out the thing that you were never... He would point out the stuff that nobody was supposed to point out, the things that we were supposed to pretend we didn't know. There was a whole thing where I think Britney Spears came out and she performed like her new single at that point. And, and Chris Rock came out and he's, why were they even wearing microphones? What is the point? I don't wear a microphone at home and I'm just listening to my boombox, do I? And it was that thing where, like, he's pointing out stuff that everybody sort of pretends isn't there, and he was fantastic. And then it was like, I don't know, like 18 months later, gone, vanished. And they just never, even though he, as I imagine with Ricky Gervais, I would imagine that the ratings for last night were probably substantially higher than they would have been with anybody else because he was so good last time.
And then, Christian Bale, he got a Golden Globe for The Fighter. And one of the first things he did was he just made a bunch of very, very funny but very sort of acid comments about having, you know, been ignored by, being schmoozed by these guys and these, they have nothing but snotty things to say about him all year, you know, when he goes on these junkets, but now they're giving him an award.
Awesome.
So, they always have to give a, what is it called? Robert De Niro got the sort of lifetime achievement
award thing. Oh, for Matt Damon,
thing. Yeah, for Matt Damon. And Michael Douglas, they said there's going to be a surprise person. And of course, it was Michael Douglas. And the big surprise is, hey,
he
didn't die.
Yeah.
And so he came out and presented the award for Best Picture. He was treated recently for throat cancer. And he did look better. You know, he's looking a lot like his dad. He's looking old.
Is he aged exponentially?
Yes, he has. Yeah. But this was his reaction when he walked out on stage.
Just got to be an easier way to get a standing ovation. thank you all very much. Even to say it's really very, very, very happy to be here tonight.
Was it throat cancer? Is that what he had?
Yeah.
Because he's got something weird with his voice there. So, the thing about Michael Douglas is I think it's really... For reasons that I can't quite figure out, somewhere over the last 15 years, people started to sort of dislike him, and I don't know why. I don't know whether it was marrying Catherine Zeta-Jones or something. Did he have like a longtime wife that he dumped for Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Oh yeah.
See, and I didn't. Well, I assume that's the case, but I didn't know.
I think he divorced his wife when he went into rehab for sex addiction,
right.
Which we all know means I can't stop screwing around on
right.
my wife.
Right.
And then I think they get divorced, and then I think at some point later, a little while later, he met Catherine Zeta-Jones.
But for some reason, he's a person that I think people have started to dislike to some degree. I think it is because... I think part of it is that people are... He had so many movies in a row where he played really, like, sleazy, like, corporate white guys.
Well, and misogynist.
I mean,
he had two or three movies in a row where he played, like...
But it was like...
Fatal Attraction and...
Wall Street was one. Yeah. Fatal Attraction was one. Basic Instinct.
In particular.
Disclosure was another one, yeah. Where it was just sort of like the Black Rain. It was like the lament of the middle-aged American white guy.
But I know a lot of women who just can't stand him because of the 1-2 punch of Fatal Attraction and Basic Instinct.
But people, I think, sometimes it is easy to forget what an important and significant, not only just factor he has been in Hollywood, or actor rather, but also what a factor he's been and what a player he has been in terms of production. And people forget, for example, that he was. I don't really care for this film, but that he was, he produced One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and that he was a huge part of getting The China Syndrome made, and a movie in which he was really exceptional. He's a guy that I think it is easy to overlook his other accomplishments based on what he did between like 1985 and 1995.
And Romancing the Stone remains an excellent movie.
I don't even dislike Jewel of the Nile. That's the thing. Even Jewel of the Nile, I will watch. I don't mind that at all. So. All right. What was I just watching him in the other day? I was just watching him in something. It might have been Basic Instinct, actually, which I have now watched twice in the last year after not having seen it for like 15 years. And actually holds up far better than I would have anticipated. You know what does not hold up? Is Wall Street.
No. That's just... Oh, God, no.
You watch that now, and it's like, there's probably 7 minutes in that film that are decent. The rest of it is just crap.
And the sequel that Oliver Stone did this last year was awful.
I have it sitting at home, and I haven't watched it yet. Every night I go home, and I look at it, and I'm like, Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps. Not tonight. And then I just, go to the fridge, and I just eat Stouffer's potatoes. Are we done with our entertainment news?
I think we are. Are we done entirely, or should I do one more?
Well, let me just read a couple of these, actually, because I have people who've weighed in with some things.
Okay.
This one just says, wow. It says, red leader standing by, followed by, wow, Rick is a huge dick. All right, thank you.
I got an email calling you a huge dick as well.
I think it was about the Fred Meyer thing.
No, it was because of you not telling me what the song was that was playing during the musical break. That I always wanted to know what the song is.
I don't know the name of it.
Well, somebody wrote in to tell me what it was, and apparently thinks that you're just holding out on me and called you a huge dick.
No, that's not true. We're talking about that Lenny D song?
Yeah.
No, is it you could actually... If at some point somebody didn't believe me, you can come over and look actually at my musical catalog here, where half the Lenny D songs are labeled, but half are just labeled with numbers. So if I knew the name, I would have told you. I honestly did not have access to the title of that. It is called Livery Bed Number 6 over here. So sir, madam, as the case may be, you can eat a full bag, as Tamey Down would say. Let's see. Orbital fractures are horrible. I've been shot. And I've had an orbital fracture. The fracture was worse. Thanks, Iraq, says this listener. Let's see. This one says, have you thought about marketing an official I Have a Dream sleep mask? No, I have not. You were a dick about you hitting your, you stabbing your brother in the eye with a pen. It was near the eye, sir. It wasn't actually in the eye. And finally, this one just says, is there really a need to call Rick a huge dick at this point? Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, we're going to end the program now. That's the love and respect that really makes this audience second to none, Don.
They like me.
Well, good for you. It is Legion of News drawing to a conclusion here. We will have an encore of this very fine program available via iTunes shortly. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here or legionofnews.com. And don't forget, it's available Monday through Friday from noon to 1 on your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. Mobile.cascadia.fm. Coming up next hour at rickemersonshow.com. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program featuring your Geek Watch, Clown Watch, Darwin Watch. Today, Aaron Duran of Geek in the City with The Week in Geek. Ryan White, music editor from The Oregonian, will be here. And we'll also have the top five songs about a celebrity crush. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you for listening. We'll see you again Tuesday for another exciting episode of Legion of News. Have a safe and satisfying Monday, won't you?
This has been the best of Legion of News. This is the Emerson News Network.